Amen. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day you've made. We ask, Lord, for your anointing upon all of us tonight, Lord. Let this be an awesome time with you, Lord. And I thank you for it. Lord, we ask that you bless Nick today, too, on this wonderful day he has. In Jesus' name, Lord, he's been on this earth for 31 years now. And we thank you, Lord, it's going to be another 31 before he has to go anywhere, or seven, or ever what it is, if we kept going to the tribulation. But anyway, Lord, we just thank you for blessing his day today. In Jesus' name, and Lord, bless us tonight as we get together and talk about you, Lord. And we praise you and glorify you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I want to pray. I want y'all to pray with me, believe with me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you take down these deep state judges that are turning these killers loose. These people that are they're turning loose that are going right back and doing the same thing over and over and over again. Lord, we thank you for getting rid of the district attorneys, the attorney generals, and the judges that are they're turning these people back into the public to do more harm. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, that that's exactly what you're doing. Thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word does things that we can't imagine it does to even in our physical body, Lord, when we speak the word of God. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us to help us to walk this life of Jesus that you want us to walk, and that you're doing that in us. And we praise you for that, Father, that we look at the mirror and that spiritual mirror and we see Jesus every time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Yeah, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray for my sister. She's traveling back to Michigan. And we're traveling down. Me, my mom, and her are traveling down to Gulf Shores at the end of the month, and at the end of October.
Okay, go
So,
ahead.
dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up my sister to you for safe travels home. And for safe travels down to Gulf Shores. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, let her have a good time while she's gone, too, in Jesus' name. But let her not forget you. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? I noticed today, Pete Hegseth called all the admirals and the generals in to have a little come to Jesus meeting. And he told him, he said, he said, I'm tired of seeing fat generals and fat admirals walking up and down the Pentagon. He said, from this point on, we're going to have physical tests every 2 times a year. And you're going to pass them. And I thank you, Lord, that you've got a man that understands the Army and the Navy and the Air Force, that you're going to have discipline with even the generals and admirals in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, Ben, go ahead.
I'd like to put, I just came from my sister's place. I was babysitting Finn, and I just want to pray for them again.
Okay.
Lord, thank you so much for Megan and Zach and Finn. I just pray a divine shield over their household. I rebuke any thoughts of New Age. I rebuke any thoughts of political point of views. Lord Father God, I just pray that you open their mind to see the truth. And Lord Father God, I want to thank you for providing for them for what they need, giving them a wonderful relationship. And I pray down any sort of negative thoughts that they get from therapy or any psychology that's in their life, Father. I just rebuke it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you again, Father, for freeing all of our families from this bondage of themselves so that they can finally see you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? Okay. I'll tell you what, we got a special treat. And we're going to go ahead and do this special treat. Nick, don't you go nowhere. Now go in there and get you a snack, boy. Go ahead, Julie. That was good. There you go, Nick. Oh my. That was awesome. All right. Has anybody got any prayers or prayer requests that they'd like to? Yeah. You looked a little different though, Nick. I thought you were the one in the middle there. All right. All right, while we're at it, I'll just go ahead and share mine. It's going to be applicable not to the birthday boy, but it's going to be applicable to the times. Well, where did that thing come from?
In the secret place of the Most High God above shall abide in the shadow of the Mighty's love. You are my from the fall of snare, from deadly pestilence too,
That's a James Dandy. Yeah, me and you too, Barbara. We do have something in common, don't we? Look out now. Blues. Lord of God, I love them. All right. I want to share one little old bitty thing, something or other, with y'all. Some of you heard me talk about Curry Blake. And while he was researching John Lake and his ministry, he ran across a bunch of 90-year-olds in a home, in a old folks' home, and they had all been in Lake's church. And he got to questioning them, and they remembered dates, they remembered the things that happened. He said, for 90-year-old people, he said their memory was excellent, and he couldn't figure out. And he asked him, he said, how can you remember all of these dates and things and what all these things that you've told me? They said, Lake taught us that the Spirit of God actually enters into our brain when we hear the word and causes life to enter the cells that can cause our memory to remain blessed. Did you hear what I said? Did you understand what I said? Lake said and taught that the Spirit of God actually enters into our brain when we hear the word and causes life to enter the cells that cause our memory to remain blessed. And he said it was phenomenal, the memory that these old folks had of the times with Lake. They said Lake taught them that every time you hear the word of God, your memory is improved every time. And so they listen to Lake all the time. But that's amazing. I've never heard that, but I don't doubt it. That's the way God's word works, isn't it? It brings life to everything. It brings life to everything. So what I guess the reason I'm saying that is it would behoove us to listen to the word of God every day, wouldn't it? Yeah. What are you doing, Missy?
I'm thinking reading out loud, speaking it out loud
Yeah, well,
ourselves, so others to hear it.
that's right. Yeah, speaking it ourselves. I do that a lot myself. I read the Bible out loud. Yeah, not only that, I listen to Bible studies. And I know David listens to the word all the time. We put him the audio Bible on his telephone. And when he's taking a nap, you can hear that thing going all the time. He listens to it a lot, and so do I. We all do, don't we? We all listen to it. Praise the Lord. I thought I'd just give you that little tidbit of information there because it's very helpful to us to understand that every time you hear the word of God, it's improving your lifestyle, keeping your lifestyle up there. It's working in your body. That's why we confess the word on our body too. All right. Hey, Joe. Oh, Joe, you missed it, buddy. You missed Psalms 91 in the blues. Whew.
I'll listen tomorrow morning.
Okay. Okay, no problem. All right. Has anybody got anything they want to talk about tonight? What y'all been doing? How is everything? Is everything okay? Okay, I want to say one thing. I'll say one thing. Now go ahead, Ben. I'm away. I got to figure out how I'm going to say this.
Well, just with the whole recent events thing, It's got me really thinking on what to do and all that. But like, I think I keep on mentioning this, but like, let tomorrow worry about itself. Like, I'm not going to necessarily change all my plans because something's happened. Like, it was on my heart to do it before. I don't want to be led by any kind of spirit of fear or anything. You know, I still want to be prepared for what's coming, and that it's not affecting my studies or anything. Like, I'm not stopping my studies or anything. So I'm in the mentality of, well, if I just keep on studying, keep on bearing his fruit, you know, what more could I really be doing? You know, like, what am I going to do? Literally, what am I going to do? Unless if you guys have anything that I'm missing here, what I'm trying to say is like, it could really lead into a spirit of fear being like, oh, because it'll eventually lead you to lead like, am I ready? And then that's already doubting what Christ has already done in you. So let's just focus on the fruit that we have in the times that we are in instead of worrying about the times we're going to be in. That's something that I kind of thought of today.
Did you have your hand up, Andy? Did you want to say something?
And maybe a little later.
Okay. Well, the thing I see, Benjamin, let me get this chocolate thing down, is God did give us the spirit of fear, like you said. We don't worry about anything. As long as we're right with the Lord, doing what He wants us to do, we don't worry about it. He'll tell you. He'll let us know what He wants us to do. He always has, He always will. But we have to be in tune to listen also. Okay. Yeah, Benita.
I guess it's kind of along those lines, but I don't know. Lately, I've just been thinking a lot about, we know that he's our provider. He's gonna take care of us, and we've got Psalm 91 protection and all that. And I mean, all these promises and all these verses, and yet when you get to Revelation, you know that there's lots and lots of martyrs. And so I just like I've been struggling with, okay, he's going to protect us, but we're going to be martyred, but we're going to be protected. Like, and trying not to live in the fear of, or not the fear, but the doubt and unbelief that comes with that. It's like, am I going to be protected or not? It's just, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but just playing those two sides in my head is like, where am I? Where am I, am I gonna be this or that? Or and like Ben saying, I just have to not fear tomorrow, not, I just gotta keep reading, keep putting him first, putting everything that's fleshly to death, keep working on that, keep repenting, just doing the things that he commands us to do, and trust that He will do with me what he needs to do with me.
And
So,
believe that he's going to do it. Here he is. Yeah, and believe he's going to do it, Benita. Everything that you've read, that we've read in the Word of God, he's going to do what he said. You can trust him. That's the problem. We don't trust him. Is he really going to get me through all this next 7 years of stuff? Is he really going to do that? Well, he said it. If he said it, he means it. He's going to do it. That's what we have to do. I'm going to read this Psalm 91 prayer that I had out that I found. I liked it. I just went ahead and printed it out. Heavenly Father, you are my refuge, my fortress, and my faithful protector. And I praise you for being the Almighty God who watches over me. And today I ask for and declare God's life, peace, and protection over this day, standing on the promises of Psalm 91. Cover me, Lord, with your wings. Hide me in the shelter of your presence. Deliver me from fear, from danger, from every unseen trap of the enemy. And let your truth be my shield. Send your angels to guard my steps and keep me in all my ways. I will not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, nor the darkness that creeps at night, because you are with me. You are my defense, my strong tower, and I trust in you. I rest in your shadow, walk in your strength, and dwell in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that for all of y'all. Thank you, Lord, that we kept that prayer. We got many more just like it in the Word of God that we can pray and believe. That's all we got to do, just believe that it's happening. Pat.
Hi, everybody, by the way. I remember, so one of the things that when Ben mentioned it about the, looking at the things that were happening, I know when there were a couple things that came to my mind when I was younger in the Lord. There was, I guess, a debate at that time. I don't know if it was a debate or the difference in thinking or theology or whatever. And that was the pre-tribulation rapture and the post-tribulation rapture. And I, at that time, I couldn't figure out which one was right and, praying about it. And it came to my mind at some point, I'm just going to, since I don't know which one it is, and at that point in my life, I said, and both could be true, I'm going to believe in the post-tribulation rapture for right now, and I'll get and I'll, seek the Lord to become prepared, whatever that means, to go through that tribulation and to face that place of martyrship or whatever is connected with it, that fearful time of, that is coming upon the earth. And then I just, left it up to the Lord and said, this is the direction I'm going, and I trust you will lead me through the process, and I let it go. I just left it there. And obviously, I believe he led me into the truth as I was, thinking about the process and thinking about the what he uses tribulation for in our life, etc., and for the good work that it does. And obviously that good work is not the fact that, you're going through a rough time or whatever, and or you're facing a threat or whatever, but it is, it becomes the springboard of losing more of the fear and entering more into his life, his supply related to that thing. So it became a couple things. Number one, I agree with what everybody's saying. A focus on the Psalm 91 and the positive aspects of his word, etc. Because it's absolutely, to me, I mean, it's absolutely essential that we believe that truth and that reality. But I learned, I guess, along the way, especially in the understanding of Psalm 23 in those first four verses, and how the Lord usually brings us into, many times brings us into a place of where we could be tempted to be fearful or not trustworthy or doubting. And he does so, I believe, to raise, to allow those thoughts and those concerns and those fears to become visible to us so that we can willfully, question the Lord as to, what is the source? And when I say what is the source, it's obviously the carnal man, the old way of thinking and whatever. But there are pockets of thinking resistance that come inherent in that old man. And sometimes, unless they become uncomfortable in our life, they don't rise to the level where we can see them and recognize them. If you don't see something, you don't recognize it, then you don't have the ability, you're not aware of it, you don't have the ability to strike it down with the word of God, and take the strength of the and remove that position that it has carved out in your life, that comfortable place that it's carved out in your thinking or awareness or your soul or whatever it is. Sometimes it has to be smoked out. So I think, and of course, I think of that, the Psalm 23 just becomes, more and more alive to me as I think about that whole process of, God, out of all the places he should desire to, he should lead me. He leads me right into that valley, where I have to willfully and forcibly exert my will to trust him that he's going to save me through that process. And it's all the, it's not just one thing or whatever. I mean, initially, it can be one thing. The first thing of that thing that brings us to the Lord Jesus in the first place. But then ultimately, we realize that as you have received Christ, so walk in him. The process of taking that word in and becoming aware of what it is and receiving that truth, is the same as it was when we first received that word of Jesus. Anyway, so there's kind of a couple different aspects there, I believe, you have to always go back to the word of God and hang on that and trust in that, but realize that it's going to take you places in believing that word that's going to smoke out things within you and within me that need to be removed by our will, our trust in trust in his word and trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us into that place and to guide us into the wisdom and faith and ultimately the grace to be released and walk in the truth and put that old man to death. So I guess I'm going to shut up now. But anyway, that's kind of the feeling I got about the whole thing.
Amen. How many of you get excited when you get to read a new word? Amen. You get to reading the word, you see things that you've already seen 100 times before, but it's something about it that this time it just connects with you. You know, that's just awesome the way God does that thing. Yeah, Andrew.
Actually, I'll let Barbara go first.
All right, go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Andrew. But I was just going to say, the Lord has had me today in Isaiah 40, 41, 42, and 43. He just had me. I just said, Lord, where do you want me today? Where do you want me to read? And he led me to all these scriptures about fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And another one in Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, we're all going through, daily, we're going to our cross. And I was under the understanding, you know, like we are going through our tribulation now by dying to our flesh, dying to ourself. And, you know, maybe I got this all wrong, but I always thought the bride, you know, does not have to go through the great tribulation, which is martyrdom. At least that's what I thought. I don't know. Because if we're already dying to our flesh, you know, because that's where he's taking us. He wants us to all die to our flesh completely. And martyrdom, I thought that's, I don't know. Maybe I'm not even sure what martyrdom is about exactly, other than dying. You know, like if you don't, the in Romans it says, if you don't, I forget how it goes, but if you don't die to your flesh, you will die. You have to die, period. You have to die. So I was under the understanding if we're dying to our flesh, as he enables us by his grace, you know, I don't know. At any rate, if we should have to face martyrdom, we just have to trust that he will give us the wherewithal, everything we need to just go through it. Just go through it. We have to just go through it. And, you know, we don't lose sight. I mean, he's the prize. We don't want to give him up for. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe I'm not saying things right, but I don't know. That's it. That's all I have to say, because I'm just going to be going on and on.
Yeah, no, you got it right. If you don't die to the spiritual flesh now, you're going to die to the flesh later, one or the other. So it's best to go ahead and die to you to yourself now. And that way you arrive through the tribulation on a white cloud. It'll be a lot easier because you'll be able to show other people how to make it with faith. That's what it's all about. It's all about faith. Everything that's coming up is to believe what the word says about every aspect of our life. And that's why the bride is going through a tribulation right now. and the man child are going through a tribulation. And the tribulation is a lot of things. Getting rid of our flesh, getting rid of everything that will hinder us in the days to come. And I'm believing that he's going to raise up a bunch of men and women here in the next little bit that are going to absolutely turn the world upside down with God's signs and wonders. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I mentioned last time when they caught the woman in the very act, and Jesus was there moving the sand and the ground. Everybody wants in, everyone wants to know, like, what is he writing there, Pastor? Tell us quick. You know, we got to know some volunteered some verses. It's good to volunteer verses because, you know, the movement of the sand there, you know, is you know, like, did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us, you know? And you know, that he moved the sand, and by moving that sand, it was an allegory of moving these people before him that's made out of the dust of the earth, to drop the judgment against the woman. And they had to, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. And plus, they had it wrong. You know, the pastors had it right. You can't be in the very act with just one person. So there has to be someone else there. So that if even if they did stone her, the sin is still in Israel. So you can't really have that. So, you know, you'd have to start stoning a lot of people. But you know, the chief cornerstone always gets the mark, and he always knows how to get rid of these aliens that try to invade us. And you know, he's moving the sand, you know, he's moving the earth. And we have to believe that the one who moves the earth now, where is he supposed to be? You know, where is he supposed to be in regard to Ephesians 3:11 and 12? Because it's according to a plan of the ages. That's a long time. Which he, that being God, made it. He made it, created, you know, in the Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access in confidence through his faith. You know, and there you have it. You know, like, whose faith do we have then? Can we possibly move the soil too? Don't tell me you haven't didn't move this. You moved some of your own dumb soil out of the way, and it worked. But you know, I was reading John the other day. So who moves the soil? Really, who moves this soil? We got, you know, Jesus destroys a leafy tree because there was no fruit on it. And he told them right after he did that, the next day, have God's faith. And Paul agrees with him by we have to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. And love never fails. So, you know, I was reading about the foot washing. Oh, those people, you know, they like to wash everybody's feet, you know. Oh, don't wash my feet, you know. But, you know, I'm embarrassed, you know. They can't wash. Who the heck said, thought it was actually water and soap, you know? I mean, you better use Dove. At least it looks like a Holy Spirit, a little Dove on the soap bar. But, you know, who really washes the feet there? Okay. Come on, people now. You know, he moves the soil, and now he. I'm just going to go to James, you know, James chapter 2, you know, and it says there, and ye have regard to him that weareth the brilliant clothing, and say, sit thou here in a good place, and ye say to the poor, thou stand or sit there under my footstool. Well, that's the perfect place because, you know, That sin there of presumption, it means that that poor guy underneath that footstool is going to have to wash your feet. So there you have it. You see that sometimes you put a person in a position that they really shouldn't be in, like they should have been put there in the forefront, but everybody wants to do what they want to do. They're pretty pretty popular, and it's kind of scary for them, because Jesus and James had the church father James had a lot to say about that, even in 3 and 1. And of course, it's continued from 2 and 3, whatever I just read there of James. And so who really washed your feet? You had to change paths when you came to the Lord. And who washed your feet to do that? That first day you heard your salvation. Who's, yeah, he used someone to do it. Some of you did these things with yourself and with others, and why we have fellowship. Anyone who says anything here, I don't think it just comes out of yourself, okay? Because God is sovereign. And sometimes, we think that we're kind of dumb, but we really aren't, And he can use anyone. He can use a kid falling out of the third floor rafters to prove that, yeah, he had a born ceremony that day, but he brought him back to life. Did Paul do that? Who pushed the kid? Who pushed the youth so that this miracle could happen? Anyway, it's kind of scary to talk about this, but I think with the moving of the sand, because we have, according to what I just read there in Ephesians 3:11, it's somebody's plan, and he knows how to make good plans. Unto the eight, it's God we're talking about, our Father. So through Jesus's faith, well, faith. How many faiths are there? Don't answer that question because we know how many there are. And there's seven ones. There's one faith, right? And now we know the faith we have, and the faith from Jesus, the faith from the Father, and the faith is instantaneous and progressive. So what's going on here? I sometimes feel like a little kid when I talk about these kind of stuff because I'm going, well, you're making me nervous, Lord. And I don't, I'm not nervous in a nice way because it's all good stuff. He can move the soil. We have an unshakable kingdom. I mean, if this faith through his faith is supposed to move through you, that means you can do and greater works than you should do, because I go unto the Father. And if he's going unto the Father, where are you? Where are you? You're raised up with him. Like I said once before, was the Apostle Paul three fries short of a happy meal? Or did he have his happy meal? You were raised with him. He's teaching this to those Ephesians. I could kick myself around the block for not understanding it, but I got a pretty big block here. And that's too much for me. I got to go all the way down Celeron to Smythe and then up Othello and then down Pleasant Park, and that's a pretty big block. So I don't want to do that. And plus, I'm not supposed to do it because someone else is moving me around. And of course, he's giving us the wonderful part of the nature, character, plus that authority. And that's your name. You share in the name of the Father, Son. You're immersed in them. And And we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. We were raised up with him, made to be seated with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And that's where our faith is too. I know the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. But when is it going to register to us that that faith is now an authoritative thing that we have? And we can't take advantage of it, because we're just going to do what the Lord wants us to do anyway. And we have to be in that very humble position. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All those foot washings have to be clean. Look at Psalm 91. How many is a direction of feet in there? And how many times when you're supposed to be on your journey in the wilderness, well, you use feet for that too, you know, and he's washing you as you're going, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. So, you know, how much have you been washed just by being here in UBM? How many times have you been corrupt? Don't say it's not UBM. It's not. It's not anybody. Well, it is somebody, and he makes you a somebody. It's the Lord washing you in your walk. I think we're missing out on this walk, you know. Walk in love. Imitators of who? What did Paul say there in chapter, I forget now, 5, I think. You know what? Walk in the light as he is. This light over there, when it says to by the same John the Apostle, what does it say in chapter 1 of John? You know, in him was life, and this life is the light of men, and we're supposed to walk in the light. And who's the one has light in him in 1 John chapter 1? And in him there is no darkness at all. And who are we imitating anyway? And who's the covenant maker? Who puts the word in your mind and in your heart? It's not me. It's not the ink on the page too. And you can look it up in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians if you don't believe me. It's not engraved in stone. Where is it written? Who wrote it there? He's even telling you. You can write it there. Oh, yes, because you can wash your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that's 7:14 of Revelation. So, wash your robes. Well, maybe he's washing your sandals too. I don't know. Walk it, your walk there through it all. We have a journey, and we have a covenant. We know how it's supposed to work, because it's God's workmanship, because he's sovereign over it all. And he's going to put us in a place. Yeah, but people have been put in many places. You've read about it in the Bible. You've read about it in the witness of the martyrs. I mean, what is he putting in your head and in your heart? A witness of spirit, water, and blood. And these three agree in one. So it's agreement. So it has all a narrative to it. A narrative of life, which is in the blood. A narrative of the word, which is the body. Because Jesus is the name called the word of God. And then there's the spirit, which comes forth out of the Father. And we're walking in that too. Praise and glory to God. You know, I had a verse here. I'm just going to read it. John 14, 18. I will not leave you orphans. And then the next four words is, I come unto you. And it's not that we're picking him, or that we loved him first. He chose us. And I come unto you. Those four words, it seems like a lot of us have trouble with that. You know, like, I come unto you. I will not leave you orphaned. You know, when you were that in a real bad place sometime in your life, the Lord sometimes has to carry you. You know, I got this footprints. I'm sure you all read it once. But he's going to go get you. He's going to leave the 99 because he's got to go pick you up and put you on his shoulders, and he's going to carry you. I'm just making these statements to have an inward confidence in the one who's there. Because he washed your feet to get there. He started you on this journey. He's been washing people's feet for 2,000 years. A countless amount of people. And that just proves that it is Jesus and God the Father. Praise and glory to God. I hope this helps.
Amen. It did. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I was looking for a quick scripture here. Oops, sorry. Give me just a quick second. I was a couple of things that were kind of hitting me, especially when Barbara was mentioning, and you know, looking at these things that are coming upon the world. And I was thinking of that scripture. I'm going to read that one real quick. Sorry, I'm kind of being unprepared here. In Revelation 21, John was looking at the activity that was happening at the throne there. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and he shall wipe, and they shall be his peoples, and God shall be with them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, in the beginning and the ending, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Then the next word, the Lord goes through a progression here, and basically saying that that those that have not partaken in that word of life freely and overcome as he overcame, so to speak, will have this, but for the fearful, he mentions fearful first. And the unbelieving, and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, etc. Goes all through the process. But it to me, it's interesting that he starts that out with fearful, and I'm wondering if it doesn't have a, if it's not a foundation of some sort, because I believe that fearful, that aspect of fear for my life, fear or self-preservation or whatever that would be, and that thought that I have to save myself automatically moves you into that, in that place of unbelieving or not believing God's word. And of course, all of the other stuff is kind of a progression, I believe, of that foundation. And I think of the situation where Peter, they were in the boat out in the middle of the sea, I guess, Sea of Galilee, and they were being tossed about. And they're in the midst of the storm, and lo and behold, they look across the water, and Jesus comes walking across the water at them, and they were all fearful. And then he, Jesus, you know, there's conversation there, and Peter said, "If it be you, Lord, you know, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter hopped out of that boat and started walking on water. You know, I don't think he had a lot of people. He didn't have any, the scripture doesn't say he had a whole lot of people holding on the side of the boat and saying, "Whoa, wait a minute. I got this. I can do this. Let me get this, Peter. You stand to the side. I'm going to get, it's my turn." You know, nobody was up there. Peter did. And he faced that fear. I mean, there's the, he faced the fear. That's all there is. I mean, you know, it's kind of, he decided to face it. And yet, the overwhelming scene that his eyes were, that he was looking at, caught him, and he became fearful and unbelieving. And of course, he yelled for Jesus to save him, and he saved him and put him back in the boat, etc. So there is that element of fear that is there in the foundation. Now, I mean, I know that there are, you know, the people have said this before. You know, you can't tempt a dead man. You know, you slap him on the cheek and he just turns his cheek or whatever. Well, a dead man doesn't have fear either. Dead man's dead. And so I'm also thinking of what Jesus, when he came over the hill to be baptized by John the Baptist, he had already entered into the place of he knew that he was, his purpose was to die. He knew he was a dead man. He knew that that God created that body and for him, that it would be taken to the cross. He knew that when he came over the hill. He overcame death before he came over the hill. It's just just make that statement and let it stand alone. I'm thinking of the three Hebrew children up in the fire. Now, they came to a crossroad, so to speak. I mean, they made a commitment before, to not defile themselves with the king's meat and whatever. And, God led them through that process. But think about it, they were slaves. They were captives in the system. These were different times in such a way that, if the king didn't like what you wore into the room that day, he would point to you and your head's gone, you're out of here. And there's no constitution that's going to, preserve your rights or save you through that process, your history. In a sense, they were already slaves in the system. They were already disposable according to the system, so to speak. And so when God put them in that place where they had to either reject the concept of bowing down and worshiping this idol that the king had made, Nebuchadnezzar had made. And by the way, a side note, that image that Nebuchadnezzar made was the worship. I know we look at that as the worship of an image, and it was, but what was that image? That was the image that God, that it was the image in his dream that God gave him, that Daniel interpreted, and that was such an amazing revelation and revelation of God in his life that he was so impressed, and he made an idol. And obviously God corrected that incorrect perception of that truth and that wonderful dream that was interpreted, etc. But he took that in and it represented God to him, and he built this thing. Well, anyway, side issue. But when they were standing in front of the king, and the king was saying, "Listen, you're going to bow down to this thing, my God. You're going to bow down to this, my God, that I have just newly discovered, and you're going to worship this thing." And they said, "I'm sorry, King, we don't have to think about this. Live forever, King, but we're not bowing down to this thing." And it was, and they knew at that point in time that they were dead men. And of course we know the story. King tossed him in the fire, and Jesus was in there with him, and he burned off all the rest of those fearful things that were in their life, etc. And there isn't anything in the rest of Daniel that I know of that actually comments on their lives relative to the impact, the resultant impact of that on their lives. And then I think of Martha, Jesus talking to Martha about the raising of Lazarus, and he made a statement, and he said, "He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." And I personally believe that that is happening in Christ. That is happening at the same time in us, the same faith that we are dead men walking, but we are alive. It is then in that process when we are dead to ourselves that we are alive in God, and God is alive in us. But just to kind of end that thing, that fearfulness, the fearful thoughts that it raises and whatever, I think allows God the opportunity to help us put that man, that fear to death. And look at what happened in the apostles after, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, they stood up and they were fearless in the face of absolute total opposition. And I recommend that if you can stand it, to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, because there is wonderful, absolutely wonderful examples of Jesus' life, repelling sin, repelling fear, and not allowing the that martyred example of death to create fear in them, and they went through it triumphantly. So I don't know. I guess I quit running my mouth, but that's kind of the thoughts I was having on that.
Amen, Pat. That was good. Go ahead, Andrew.
Pat, when you were mentioning the king there making that image and wanting everyone to bow down to his dream. Well, this is why we can't use the Shepherd of Hermas as scripture, because they tried to do that in the past. They were going to make it scripture. That came to me there. But all these verses that you were reading here from 21:1 to 21:7, I'll just peruse some of them. And I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made, I like that word, ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Really? Where's the faith again? And he shall wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are gone. It reminds me of it is finished. And who sitteth on the throne saith, I make all things new. And he saith, right, because these words are faithful. And he said to me, they are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to those athirst of the fountain of water freely. And water's in a lot of places. He'll sanctify and cleanse it with the washing. And he's even got his towel out washing our feet. So the point I want to get or make here is what happened to the Apostle John after all that things he saw? Did he not have information there that he had to go through in his time? Did he not have some information there from the Lord? All those things that I read happened to John when he needed him, when after he went through all this, what he saw in his vision. And God doesn't live in time, I was told. And shouldn't we, as children of God, be subject to also these words? And for some of us who have a very good maturity in them, would not be given these things also to make it from Alpha to Omega, like all the letters in between. And that's just something I just thought of because I read that earlier, and when you brought it up just now, it was kind of confirmation for me that John had to start living the word even more with this insight he had from the book of Revelation. And we do too. So, because there's no other way, there's no other path you want to follow, there's no other walk you want to walk in. And that's I hope that helps people. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, Pat's got John 14:10 out there. So, has anybody else got anything they want to share? I do. If y'all give me a few minutes, I'll find it. Aha. Well, I'm going to have to get my thoughts together before I can go into this. We'll do it Tuesday night. Thursday night. Go ahead, Pat.
I'll just share something that happened to me. So you, I guess you're not going to do whatever you're going to do, and you're going to wait. You're going to wait. But anyway, so this last week, I had kind of an experience. We went to the Outer Banks with a group, every morning we would have a devotional. Basically had an hour, there's four, five, six of us, five of us that reached out to share, or we shared some things. And so I said, okay, I'll do it on Sunday morning. And we went down Saturday, and then first thing got there, and then Sunday I gave it. Well, I was asking the Lord for a couple weeks for what he wanted me to share. And and I would comb through some of the things that that I saw in a few scriptures here and there, but nothing was gelling. Nothing was really coming to fruition. And usually the Lord will give me a track, he'll give me a verse, and I'll think about that, and then, or he'll give me a problem or something, but it usually, gives me something that I go, it's like a thought progression, and it'll lead me from one thought to the next, and whatever. Well, he didn't give me anything. And I kept every day, all right, Lord, what do you think? I need something. Just give me a direction, and I'll just go in that direction or whatever. Well, he never gave me anything. And so Saturday morning, or Saturday night, I still didn't have anything, and I was starting to get a little bit, well, I was getting concerned because, I have about, there's, 20, close to 20 people, 18 people or whatever that are, going to be listening to me. And I didn't get anything. I was blank. I mean, it was, there wasn't anything. Sunday morning, I got up and early, and I went in, to pray and just, Lord, what, I need something to, message, direction to go here. And then it dawned on me, because there, when I was speaking about fear, that I was starting to get a little antsy and a little, agitated, like, what is happening? I'm gonna, gonna be standing up there, sitting, up there, to present something, and I got nothing to present. And it dawned on me, I'm not sure how it came to me, but it just dawned on me. If the Lord didn't give me anything, then he'll either have to give me something on the spot, or number one, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So I just said, if you didn't give me anything, there's got to be a purpose or a reason for it. Now, I don't know what that is, but there's got to be a purpose for And so I did have one scripture. I think it was John 14:8, or I quite frankly, I don't even remember what it was now. But the thing that I did in picture, to set up everybody sitting around the, we had this big table, and everybody sitting around there, and I sat down, and I literally didn't have anything, but I had a peace, that God was in control of the whole thing. And so I confessed it to the group. I said, well, I feel a little sorry, but the Lord has not given me anything. So I'm just going to start with this verse that I believe he gave me this verse. And I said, now, how long do we, have to present, And he said, well, you got an hour. And I said, well, this is going to, maybe I'll make it 15 minutes, but this is what I've got. And I literally sat there and I read that scripture, and one thought came to me, and one thought led to another. And I presented my testimony and things that had happened, and whatever. I'm not going to go. I can't even remember what all I said, but I went from this point of not knowing what I was going to say next to going for the next hour, one thought to the next, and one to the next, and one to the next. And I say that Because, and I posted this scripture there, John 14:10, in there, because it hit me at the time that there was a sense, there is a bit of fear that was there. No, I'm going to say there was some fear. There was a tremendous amount of fear there, because if you've ever had to speak before a group, you don't have anything, and you're kind of hung out to dry type thing. But the Lord took me through that thing again. What and it was like I could just sense that, one thought right after the next, and talking and confession and this and that, and what the and three or four people came to me afterwards, and were blessed by what was presented. And again, I don't even remember what all of what it was, but it was so impressive to me, because they, in a couple conversations after that, and for whatever reason, the conversation went one way, and I was able to share a dream that the Lord gave me, and then that led a whole thing. This was later on in the day, and I'm going to say the Lord just blessed me, and He blessed, I believe, blessed the people there at that time, and I had to tell, a few of the people I were talking with that I was just as amazed as. That they were, if they were blessed, they didn't realize that I was just as blessed, because I was hearing it for the first time as well. And I tell you what, it was His presence was just blowing me away at the time. But so John 14:10, he says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works." And that verse right there, it just become living with me, because I had nothing. I had nothing. And the Lord just filled the space with himself, and just it just blessed me. But that verse there just became alive to me that day, and so I just wanted to share that anyway. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Ben. I was muted. Anyone else got anything they'd like to share? Thank you, Pat. Yeah, Andrew.
I realized, Pat, that it says you're not supposed to rehearse things before you say it. That's when they take you, the bad guys. But you didn't rehearse something, but you were still in front of good guys. Okay. And he just did it for you, like, wow, man. Like that's him moving you there, moving the soil again. And he saved you at the last minute there. And I was really intent to look, because that happens a lot. You were always like entrapped, and sometimes you didn't have anything to say. And you said, oh, I should have said that afterwards. You think that, eh? But it wasn't your time to say anything, perhaps at those times. But this time, he did it there. And that was so cool. That's neat. Because I think sometimes we're just a little bit afraid to speak, or we're too shy or something. I don't know. But praise the glory to God for that.
Amen. All right, who's next? Who wants to be next? Well, I'll go ahead and get into what I wanted to share a little bit tonight. And one of it is not a subject that I like to go into, but it's necessary. And that's well, where'd it go?
Michael, can you get closer to your microphone, please?
Well, if I do, I'll have to swallow it. Yeah, I'll see if I can get. Is that better? Is that better?
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to read this. First Corinthians 14:33. As in all the churches of the saints, in 34, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. And David says, the silence here is prohibited teaching and taking authority, as we see in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:12. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. Paul said the women can pray or prophesy, 1 Corinthians 11:5, but every woman praying or prophesying. So this silence or quietness does not include praying, because that's to God and not to men. Neither does this include prophesying, because that's from God and not the woman. A prophetess has the gift of prophecy, but is not a prophet, which is an office of an overseer having authority to teach and command in the church. Women can have many ministries, but not the fivefold ministries. Only men are permitted to be bishops or overseers, which includes the offices of the fivefold. Now, we knew all that. What I've noticed in the last, oh, 3 or 4 months, I should say. And don't text me and say, is it me or is it me or is it me? Because it doesn't make any difference. I've noticed that some women are more than one, or more than two, are trying to teach. And also counseling men. And of course, as you know, that's not permitted. And all I want you to do is just be aware of it and keep it at the forefront. I don't want you to miss anything. The Lord spoke to me about it, and so that's the reason I brought it up. Has anybody got any answers here? I'm not going to. The questions are, if you're not sure about it, just leave it alone for a while. Yeah, Barbara.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
I don't often get on here and talk because I don't like to talk sometimes. I mean, because I mean, what I mean is, like, I don't always feel close to y'all to be able to talk. So, like tonight, I don't even know why I did talk. I was just sharing about Isaiah. Now, did I do something wrong? I need to know. Did I? I'm sorry. I have to ask. I was reading in Isaiah, but maybe I shouldn't have. Should I have not have?
Who gave that to you?
Well, the Lord
Okay, don't worry
felt
about
it.
it.
Lord,
Yeah,
aren't
you were
I
just
just
sharing what the Lord showed you.
okay? I just want to
That's
make sure.
fine.
I don't want to do wrong, and I'm hearing you, and
Yeah.
I don't want to do wrong here.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
No, it's this has only happened just gosh, very minute many times. Hardly any. And I asked the Lord about it, and he thought I ought to go ahead and just mention it. So if you're going to ask me later, text me and say, was it me? I'm probably not going to answer it. I'm just going to let you do what the word says, and let's just go from here. Because we've been taught on it and taught on it a number of times. And I don't know. I'm just going to let the Lord lead me. If you do ask me, I'll just let the Lord lead me do on what to say to you. But I can tell you this: I don't want to, because if you have to ask, there's something wrong. Read that book, Word, Women, and Authority. That's a good book. And that's all I wanted to say about that. I had to say it because I believe the Lord told me to. We've been doing real good, real good. And it's just been a couple of isolated incidents, maybe three or four. Okay, that's all I got. Other than that, everything's just lovely. Somebody will smile out there, for goodness sake. Y'all making me feel bad now. I'm going into the corner. Goodness gracious. No, me. All right. Anybody got anything else they want to bring up? The questions are fine. Questions are fine. If you've got something that the Lord gave you, that's fine. That's the reason I didn't want to bring it up, because then I got everybody thinking wrong. I just command condemnation to go out in Jesus' name. Anxiety to leave in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy upon us. In Jesus' name. Oh gosh, I run Pat plumb off. Oh no, there he is. You just changed places. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I was just going to. I did have a question earlier when
Okay.
I was talking. I did ask. Let me see what I was. If we're, what was the question? Oh, I thought that the bride, if we're all believing to be in the bride, I thought the bride didn't have to go through the great tribulation. Isn't that what martyrdom is? That's what I'm asking. I mean, I don't really know, and that's why I'm asking.
No, I don't think you're right there. The bride will go all the way through the tribulation, and at the end, we'll all be raptured out of here.
Right. But what does that scripture mean then that, where did I
Which
read that?
one?
I think it is in Revelations about we don't have to go under the Philadelphian church, I'm thinking. That we don't have to go through the great tribulation. Or he would keep us. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm getting the word.
Okay, no, I think you're getting, yeah, I think that's what it is. See, the Lord's going to keep us all the way through tribulation.
Okay. So I
That's,
misunderstood.
we're not going to be coming under attack like the rest of the church. The bride and the man-child ministries are going to be protected, taken care of, because we have faith. That's what we've been bringing us through here the last little bit, you know.
Okay, so that's what it was. I was lacking understanding then on that.
No, we're going through the tribulation. We're going to be here to last trump when we go out of here, when we go up and to meet the Lord in the air at before the tribulation.
Well, I didn't know that.
I
I
thought
didn't
I'd throw that in there. You didn't catch it, did you? I said before the tribulation. No, we go all the way through the tribulation.
I did know that. But I
Yeah.
was meaning at the martyrdom. I thought that was the great tribulation, the martyrdom part.
The only thing I know what you're talking about as far as the martyrdom is going is the people that were killed because of their faith in Christ. Well, that's going to be all throughout the tribulation.
Does that apply to us as well, or what?
No, we just got through talking about the bride being protected all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my understanding. Has anybody got anything else different? Let me know. As far as I know, from reading Hidden Manna, the bride and the man child will go through both tribulations, the first and the second tribulation, all the way to the rapture. Go ahead, Pat.
So I think that the thing that hits me is that it's kind of like what we were talking before, and that is martyrdom. There's, well, let's just wait. If you're already dead to yourself, I mean, the whole purpose of our life here basically is to enter into the rest of that death that's already been provided. And obviously, I don't say that as having achieved, but I believe that there is an aspect of our of faith that God brings us to where that death process has, I'm going to say, perfected or completed its work in us. And that dying is no longer a fearful thing. It doesn't generate fear. And if you look at was it Stephen, I believe, when they were stoning him, he had that presence of faith. He wasn't afraid or fearful, but lifted up his voice in prayer to God, forgive them, for they know not what they do, etc. And so I believe it's probably going through the great, the tribulation, that the bride and the man child will have be in that position of rest in the death and life functioning within them, that faith functioning within them, that quite frankly, it doesn't matter whether we live or die through the process. We're there for one, for one purpose, and that's to be of service to God through the process. And no fear of death will permeate our life, shall we say. It will be history. We won't be thinking about it, because it doesn't matter one way or the other. And if God should choose that our life should end at a particular time, then I believe that it is by His grace, in the presence and understanding and faith of that I'm already a dead man, and if this is it, then God bless. I go to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I stay, I make it through the stoning or whatever, then and I'm he raises me up, then here we go again. Let's just keep on keeping on. So I don't think I don't think it's relevant one way or the other to the Lord, because we are already in that place. We are already dead men, and it can not create fear within us. So I don't know if that's, I'm just tossing that out for what I'm thinking, Barbara.
Well, what it really is, what David has taught in hidden manna, is that if you lose your flesh life before you go into the tribulation, you won't lose your flesh life in tribulation. That's the way he brought it out in hidden manna. And you're right, we're not going to be anxious about dying or anything else during the tribulation, because we've already died. We died to self. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Can you, Michael, can you repeat that, what you just said, the first part of that? Like what you said
Just to
there?
make it real simple, is this: the bride has already died to self before the tribulation. And if she has died before the tribulation to the flesh, then during tribulation she will not die, because she's already dead to the flesh. The people that haven't died to the flesh are the ones that will be, some of them will be martyred, because they
Okay,
haven't died to the
so
flesh, according to what hidden matters.
I have another question for you. In Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace," that's a definite article, "the peace of the Christ arbitrate in your hearts." And that's to rule in your hearts, to govern in your heart. So, whereunto you were called in one body, and be thankful. So either way, or is this a really good rest verse? Because we know that the peace is in many other places in Scripture, but I like where it says the two are made one, thus making peace. Of course, that's you and Christ. And that could be a rest verse. There's a lot of nice rest verses where the word rest isn't used in them. And then there's rest verses where it's a sabbatismos, like in Hebrews chapter 4. So that's an interesting kind of item. Anyway,
What verse did you say?
praise God. It's just Colossians 3:15 sounds like a rest verse. And of course there's peace there. The two are made one, thus making peace, is in Ephesians. I can't remember where it is. It's in the second chapter, I think. And that's kind of a restful item. And then you have the verses in Hebrews, where you enter that sabbatismos to enter his, the Holy Spirit saith, today if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's in Hebrews too, as they did in the provocation, because we have a journey to complete. And so there are rest verses that seem to be more restful than others. And I just was wondering, I'm just making comments, that's all. Praise God.
Amen. All right, Benita.
Yeah, just along with what you were saying earlier, Michael, I know that what I remember David teaching was that he gave the examples of all the man-childs that had, they went through their own tribulation first, and then they led the people through their tribulation. So they went through the tribulation for the other saints, but they'd already gone through it initially. And same with the bride and Esther. She went through the tribulation and then she led the people through the tribulation. So that's how I don't know if that helps Barbara, but
Yeah.
yeah, we're going through our tribulation now, and then we'll lead the people through the tribulation.
Yeah.
That's
Yep.
how I
I
understood
agree.
David's teaching.
Yeah. We go through our tribulation before the tribulation. And that's what David has taught in the Hidden Manna. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just thinking, sometimes a woman might not want to listen to a man. So sometimes a woman has to speak to another woman about things too. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah, been me. Well, there are women that can talk to younger women in the Lord. And show them things. All right, anybody else? It's going to be an interesting time, to say the least. It's going to be I don't have a clue as to what it's going to look like. It's just going to be chaos everywhere, is what I'm thinking. And but the Lord is with us, and we've learned how to go through these trials for a reason. So we'll be able to go through these trials and show other people how to go through these trials without murmuring and doing all the things that the Israelis did out in their tribulation. None of them made it to the promised land. We're going to make it to the promised land because of God and the Holy Spirit that's in us. That's what we have to do is just remember who's with us all the time. It's the Lord God Almighty is with us all the time. And I don't here's a good verse I saw the other day. That I believe that somebody said Satan fears the most about your flesh, Romans 8 and 13. And I've given this out to many people. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, if you take care to meditate on it, you'll understand what the flesh is. And of course, he gives us all of that, or what I just got through reading earlier. And that verse there has helped me a lot. It's helped me a lot just in the last couple of few months. Amen. All right, anyone else? We still got a few minutes here. Yeah, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Hello.
It's that verse that Pat gave in John 14:10. You'll notice that there's words, and then it suddenly changes his to works, you know, the deeds at the very end. Yeah. That's pretty neat the way it does that, eh? Because you got someone on the inside.
Yes, we do. That's the great thing about it. That's when we understand who
Know,
lives in us, who
faith.
guides us. I'm sorry.
Every good word and work, every good word and deed there in 2 Thessalonians, I think chapter 2 or 3, I'm not sure. And then there's the one in James, you know, faith without works. But then again, the word and the works, and Jesus is the name called the Word of God. And there it is again, we're supposed to have through his faith, you know, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through his faith. So, and of course that's God's plan, right? In 3:11 and 12 of Ephesians. So if it's God's plan, then it's a real good plan. You know, I remember the days when they used to say, God has a plan for your life. Well, there it is written right there, you know, and we have to have these verses and written on our heart, you know, 3:11 and 12, you know, that he's got according to the plan of the ages, which he, and that's God, you know, change some of these he's and his's to the one who was supposed to be, you know, that he made. I underlined made in the Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, like, yeah, you call him Lord, so make him Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through Jesus's faith. So, and where did he get everything, and where are we supposed to get everything? Praise God, glory to God. You know, it just you read these verses, you know, and I used to have this boldness, the 12. And then I read 11 and I went, whoa, there's the plan again, you know. Wow. Praise God.
Amen. Well, we're about out of time here. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Father, for all the good word that was spoken tonight. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us to help us to die to the flesh and not to want anything but you, Lord, to you, for you into our lives and to lead us and guide us into all the things that you want us to do. And we praise you and thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the times ahead. And Lord, I thank you for all that's going to happen in the morning. And I believe, Lord, that it's going to be a blessing to everybody that's here in the States. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Good night, saints. God bless you.